And we thank the Lord for the truth that we can find in God's Word. The Bible speaks of this Word being a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It gives us direction in life. And we've been teaching on basic fundamental Bible principles. As I've said in previous programs, that's what this world is lacking. Churches are lacking on teaching basic Bible principles. They've left the principles of the Word of God and started teaching doctrines of men. And God's not pleased with that, folks. We have to be founded fundamentally strong in the Word of God. And the Word of God backs that up. We've been teaching on Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And we'll start at the first verse. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, this is Christ's doctrine, let us go on to perfection. Now, this shows you what his fundamental principles are. They're founded in the Word of God, and they'll be found in his building, in God's building. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection. Show the foundations now, the principles. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. We've taught on that. And of faith toward God. We taught on that last week. We're going to take up this next fundamental principle, this next doctrine of Christ. And it did say the doctrine of Christ. This is what Jesus taught. The second verse of the doctrine of baptisms. We're going to take that up today, God being our great helper. The doctrine of baptisms. There's a lot of controversy out there about baptism. Some folks don't believe you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Is baptism essential for salvation? Well, we'll take this Word of God and prove today without a shadow of a doubt to any honest person how important baptism is to Christians. You know, this is, again, one of his fundamental principles. These are foundations that are found in God's building, his house. And we're built upon these fundamental principles once again. I stress that a lot because it's important. These are things that you're going to find in the building of God. These foundations. And this is the way that we have to worship God. Because Jesus said in St. John, the 4th chapter, and the 23rd verse, but the hour cometh, and now is, Jesus said, when the true worshipers, listen to that, he said, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. What is spirit? St. John 6 and 63 said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. That means to be made alive. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, the spirit is the word. It's through his word. That's how we worship him. What is truth? St. John 17 and 17 says, Jesus talking, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the Father is seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth, in his word. Yeah, in his building. Yeah, the building that he's building is made up on fundamental principles of the doctrine of Christ. And the true worshipers will worship him in this fashion. The true worshipers. And well, there's false worship. And false worship is in vain. The Bible says in Matthew, the 15th chapter, and the 8th verse, Jesus said, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching doctrines and commandments of men. Well, how do we know that we're not teaching a commandment or a doctrine of men? There's only one way to know that, folks, is to follow the blueprint. If we're founded on these fundamental principles of the doctrine of Christ, that's what Hebrews 6 said, founded on the doctrine of Christ, these principles. What did Jesus say about baptism? What did he command? We don't want the commandments of men. We want the commandments of Jesus Christ. Is it a commandment? Let's go to Matthew, the 28th chapter. And we'll start at the 18th verse and see if it is a commandment or a doctrine of Christ. Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." This was a commandment that he was given to his disciples. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." What did he tell them to do? "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Is that a commandment of men, or is that a commandment of Jesus Christ? That's pretty plain, isn't it? That's pretty simple. How can a man say that he can forbid baptism when it was a commandment of Jesus Christ? This was a fundamental principle of the doctrine of Christ. Turn with me to Mark, the 16th chapter and the 15th verse. This is what Jesus said. This is his doctrine. Mark 16:15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That looks like that's pretty essential to salvation, don't it, you? I'm not going to be built upon what the commandments and doctrines of men say, because that's false worship. That's worship in vain. I'm going to be built upon the fundamental principles of what this Word of God teaches us. His commandment was to be baptized, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And it goes on down and shows you, "But he that believeth not," if a man don't believe, he won't be baptized. "And he that believeth not shall be damned." What are you going to do this morning? Are you going to take what man says? Are you going to take what this Word of God teaches? He told his disciples to go into all the world, teach people to observe all the commandments that he taught them. Let me see if this one disciple, see if old Peter wasn't doing what Jesus taught him. Turn with me to Acts, the 2nd chapter, and we'll start at the 37th verse. I believe Peter just had enough sense to do what Jesus told him. That's what I'm going to do, folks. I'm just going to do what Jesus tells me to do. I want to be obedient to his word. Peter here preaching to people in Acts 2nd chapter in the 37th verse. "Now when they heard this," Peter just got through preaching to him. "When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They wanted to know what they had to do to be saved. And old Peter told them just what Jesus had commanded them, to observe all things which he had commanded them. What he taught the apostles to do is go and baptize. He was telling them to observe these things. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." What for? For the remission of sins. They had to repent and be baptized before they had their sins remitted. So is it essential to salvation? Well, that's what Jesus said in Mark. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You can't be saved unless you have your sins remitted. And that's what they were baptized for the remission of sins. Repentance, that's a fundamental principle, what we've been teaching on. Repentance and baptism. Yeah, that's what Jesus taught, didn't he? You know, Jesus was our example. God sent him here to be an example. That's what 1 Peter the 2nd chapter in the 21st verse said. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. That's what God sent him here to be, an example that we should follow his steps. Let me show you the example that Jesus left here. Turn with me into Matthew, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse. Jesus come unto John here, the 13th verse. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Why did he come? To be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? You know, folks, I don't believe Jesus really needed to be baptized for the remission of sins. That's what baptism is for. It's for the remission of sins. This man didn't do any sin. But why was he baptized? Why was he baptized? And I'll show you why. He left us an example. That was the only reason why he did come to be baptized of John. The 15th verse. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Baptism is a righteous act. Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness. Listen to this. So then John, then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water. Yeah, John took him down and baptized him, didn't he? And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Was God pleased with Jesus in being baptized? Well, that's what the Word of God says. Well, Jesus said in St. John, the 8th chapter and the 29th verse, And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Why didn't the Father leave him alone? For I do always those things that please him. Well, did baptism please the Father? That's what the Bible says. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's what God told Jesus when he was baptized. Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. That's why the Father was with him. I want God to be with me too, don't you? Well, I'm going to follow the commandments of Jesus. Yeah, I want to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what this Bible teaches, is to be baptized. That's what Jesus taught us. That's what he taught the disciples. The disciples taught us to observe all things that Jesus commanded them. And he commanded them to be baptized. Well, what about a man that says that he don't have to be baptized? It's not essential to salvation. Folks, I'm afraid that man is teaching his own commandments, his own doctrine. That's a commandment of men, not to be baptized. But Jesus gave us a commandment to be baptized. Well, who are we going to follow then? Let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. We can worship God in vain, folks. Let's be obedient to the Word of God and be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's essential. It's essential. Well, they say, what about the thief on the cross? Well, you notice when Jesus gave the commandment to be baptized was after his resurrection, after he was raised. That thief was hanging on the cross. He was talking to Jesus before he died. Now, what does baptism mean to us? Yeah, I believe that that thief was saved. That's what Jesus said. But what does baptism mean to us? What is being baptized? Romans the 6th chapter tells us. Romans the 6th chapter and the 3rd verse says, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Well, Jesus hadn't died yet when the thief asked him the question to remember him when he come into his kingdom. He hadn't died yet. When Jesus gave the commandment of baptism, it was after he was raised, after he was resurrected. That's what baptism is we're being buried in the likeness of his death. It's what Romans the 6th chapter says. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. That's what baptism represents to us. Baptized into his death, raised to walk in a newness of life. Yeah, a new life in Jesus Christ. But folks, Jesus hadn't died yet when he said that to that thief. Well, how could he be baptized into his death if he hadn't died yet? That's simple and that's plain. My friends, I'm afraid people are just making excuses and want to establish their own doctrine, their own commandments. I'm afraid they're going to worship God in vain, folks. But God seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth through his word, through his commandments. That's why we take the pains to be on this air to teach the basic fundamentals of the doctrine of Christ. It's not our doctrine. This doctrine comes from Jesus Christ. And it is essential to salvation. Let's see what our old brother Peter says about it. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 20th verse, he was talking about people that were disobedient in the flood, which were sometimes disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. What did they do? They had to get in the ark. They had to get in the thing that was going to save them. They were saved by water. That's a like figure to us, folks. It's what Peter said. Let's read the next verse, the 21st verse. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth now also save us. Is that what? Read it. Is that what the Bible says? That's what. Now, folks, I didn't put that in there again. We're reading this right from the Word of God. I didn't add it. I'm not taking it away. We're reading it right from the Word of God. These were men that were taught by Jesus Christ. And they're teaching us the same things that Jesus taught them. I'm going to observe it, aren't you? I'm going to be obedient to the Word of God. I'm going to follow my example. Yeah, I'm going to be built upon the cornerstone, that head cornerstone, that chief cornerstone, that example that Jesus left us here. Well, in the flood, they had to get in the ark of safety before they were saved. That's what I'm saying, folks. Jesus is the ark of safety today. You've got to get into Jesus. Get into his commandments. You get into Jesus. You're being baptized into Christ. Let's read it what Galatians says. Galatians, the 3rd chapter. I'll tell you what. Let's start at the 26th verse. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, how do you get in Jesus? That next verse tells us. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. They receive Christ. They've put him on. Folks, they put his word on. They put his commandments on. They were baptized into him. Let's go back to Acts, the 2nd chapter again. And Peter preaching to these folks, the 37th verse. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, folks, let's see if they were obedient to what Peter told them. Or did they think it wasn't essential to salvation? The 41st verse said, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." They were added unto the church. That's how you get in Christ. That's how you get into his body. Yeah, but they gladly received his word. The 42nd verse said, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." Whose doctrine was it? It was the apostles' doctrine. Where did they get it from? They got it from Jesus. This was one of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." Yeah, they continued in it. They continued in it, and there was added unto them. They were added into the church. Well, let's see. The 47th verse says the same thing. "They continued in it." They continued daily in the temple and praising God. And the 47th verse said, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added." Where did he add to? "And the Lord added to the church," to the body of Christ. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." How did he add to the church? They were baptized. They that gladly received his word were baptized. "And there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." How did they get added? They were baptized. They got into the ark of safety, folks. Yeah, they obeyed the commandment. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. There's a lot of places in this word that tells us how we get in Christ, tells us how we get into his body, the church. I'll tell you what, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we'll start about the 12th verse. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Listen now, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." How do we get in that body? How do we get in Christ? We're baptized into that body. We're baptized into Christ. There were added 3,000 souls unto the body that day when they obeyed Peter, when he preached to them. God added to the church such as should be saved, saved through his body, saved through the ark of safety. Turn with me to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. We'll start at the 14th verse. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one." This body has many members, but we're one. "And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh, in his body, the enmity, even the law of carnal commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Listen now. "And that he might reconcile both the Jew and the Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." That one body is what we're reconciled to God in. That one body is the church. That's how we can be reconciled to God, is being baptized into that one body. That's where the remission of sins is at. That's where the reconciliation is at, is in Christ. And we have to be baptized into Christ. Folks, this is the teachings of his word. I'm not just pulling this out of the air. I'm going from the Bible when teaching this. This is his fundamental principles. This is what he wants us to teach. Let's go on down, read the 17th verse. "And came and preached peace unto you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him, the body of Christ, through Jesus, the church, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We've got access by that one Spirit. And by that one Spirit, we are baptized into that body, folks. Yeah, you can see that. I know you can. Yeah, baptized into Jesus, baptized into the ark of safety. Yeah, let's read it again, the 18th verse. For through him, through that body, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father except by me. You've got to get into Jesus. Yeah, as many of you as were baptized into Christ, that's how you get into him, what Galatians says, have put on Christ. 19th verse. Now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now watch this building, folks. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Yes, he left us an example that we should follow his steps. Yeah, we mark our life off that chief cornerstone. Yeah, listen to this building. This is the reason why it's important for us to teach the fundamental principles, the foundations of the doctrine of Christ, his building, God's building. The 21st verse, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Yeah, I want God to inhabit me, don't you? Just like Jesus said, the Father hath not left me alone in St. John 8:29. Why didn't the Father leave him alone? Because he always did those things that pleased him. Yeah, and when he was baptized, he said, this is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. You keep the commandments of God and be built upon these principles. God will inhabit you. That's the reason why these principles are here, for that building, so God can inhabit you through these fundamental principles. Yeah, making up his building. Let's go to Colossians, the first verse, the 18th chapter. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Yeah, he's the head. He's the head cornerstone. Now go to the 21st verse. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. How did he do it? We got in Jesus. We got in the body. The next verse. And now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Yeah, get in the body. Yeah, the 18th verse said that body was the church. Yeah, and we can be in that church through baptism, can't we?